Digital 410 Productions proudly presents the What's in Your Head podcast.
Digitized live from
your company name here.
Your studios in Cape Coral, Florida. It's the What's in Your Head podcast.
How the hell, Mr. Garrison?
Isn't it amazing how groundbreaking a show like that could be, and then now it's just totally played and fucked out?
I know.
I'll tell you exactly when. I have a short tolerance for not stupidity, but redundancy, lazy writing. I stopped watching South Park when it seemed like, and this had to be in the mid-2000s. We're still in the height of the war. It was when every other episode seemed to be about Saddam Hussein and the devil being boyfriends. It was like every episode. I said, okay, this plot line's getting fucked out. And it was not even a South Park thing. I mean, I stopped watching WWF wrestling when every match they would knock out the referee, and then the guy who was winning the fight would get gang raped by everybody on the outside, beat the shit out of him, take the guy who was formerly getting his ass beat, pull him over top of that guy, and then the referee would wake up and count him out. Okay, you do that once or twice, it's funny, but it was like every third match, it was like, okay, it's just getting redundant, and I just start tuning out. But Walking Dead. You know when I stopped watching Walking Dead? When everybody in the world wanted Negan dead, but for some reason, everybody in that posse ended up in the room with the motherfucker with a gun, and no one ever shot him. I was like, okay, I'm over it. I'm done with it. It's like, you guys want this guy dead. He killed all your friends. You've been standing in the room with him for 15 minutes by yourself with a Glock. You can't bring it to shoot him in the head. I'm over it. It's dumb. But now that I got that out of the way, let's start the show. Well, what's up, OG5? Welcome to another episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. Mike is out tonight because tonight's a makeup night. It's already Thursday. We're supposed to record this on Wednesday, but my internet was down yesterday. Yada, yada, yada. But no worries. Morgan Long is with us tonight, and we got a list of shit to go down through. And I just want to come off right off the top and get this out of the way. I'd have to go back and listen to it. We pre-record an episode, so this will actually air next week. We have last week's that we recorded. I got to edit and post for this week. But I think I started to, about maybe the first episode you were on, Morgan, I wanted to discuss the Puff Daddy thing. And I told you guys in a message, I want to talk about this Puff Daddy thing. And you guys are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And how I became aware of the Puff Daddy thing is I found this guy on TikTok who got a hold of the legal documents. And he started talking about how people filing records. And if this paperwork's correct, Puff Daddy may be, in his words, the black Jeffrey Epstein. I'm like, well, what's this? And he starts going down all the information, talking about everybody wondered how Puff Daddy could start Bad Boy Records when he was 23, even if he was slinging, you know, drugs. He didn't have that kind of money, right? Well, apparently his partner, the guy who helped found Bad Boys Records, oh, what the hell is his name? Co-founder, Bad Boy Records. He was a famous old, the financier, not the actual co-founder, but the money man. I can't remember his name. Anyhow, he was a old Jewish guy from the music industry, been around for a while. The guy brings up his name TikTok. Apparently, he was a gay guy. And he went on talking in this video about, allegedly, according to these court documents, what Puffy would do is whenever up-and-coming rappers would come, they would basically get him fucked up, put him in a room, essentially sexually assault him, rape him, record it, and then sign him the shitty record deals. And when they say, well, I don't want to sign with you, they'd be like, well, okay, we'll just release it. Here's a video of you last night, and we'll release it to the public. And it was a form of sexual blackmail, right? And there's some people who believe that's what the whole thing with Jeffrey Epstein was, except for Jeffrey Epstein was put into power by the CIA or the deep state, whatever, as a way to get control over some of the smartest and most powerful people in the world. That's why Bill Gates may have been on Epstein's island. They're not saying that Bill Gates was a perv. They're saying he may have been lured there under false pretenses. And then, oh, now we have pictures of you around all these young girls and that. blackmail to keep them in control. Same with Stephen Hawking and some of these other people. It's a form of sexual blackmail. So that's a hypothesis on Epstein, which is why he got offed and they never released a client list, right? Kind of makes sense. If you want to control the most smartest, powerful people in the world, how do you do it? Get them film footage, get documentation of them with minors. Well, minors is tremendously bad. We can all agree to that. But in the late 80s, early 90s, one of the worst things you could be in the urban community would be black, right? I mean, not black, would be gay. In that culture, one of the worst things you could do is be gay. Even if you're technically and legally raped, you were drugged and raped, but they filmed it, these guys wouldn't want that footage to get out, you know, right? Their reputations would be ruined. So what a better way to sexually blackmail people? And so I wanted to bring this up like three episodes ago, but I wanted sources. Googled it, nothing. DuckDuckGo'd it, nothing. No one was reporting on this anywhere, and that's why during the middle of the show I want to talk about this. I'm like, oh, never mind. I can't find any documentation about it. Just this one guy from TikTok. And one thing I learned from working in radio, even though no one does this anymore, have two sources. If you only find one source, chances are it's fake. Have more than two valid sources. And since the only person I saw talking about this 3 or 4 weeks ago is one weirdo on TikTok, I was like, okay, I can't talk about this because I don't have the documentation. Well, holy shit. What was it? 3 days ago, Homeland Security raids all three of his houses simultaneously. And now there's, you know, 50 Cent goes on Twitter, kind of throws Jay-Z under the bus. And then there's I saw a interview that 50 did on a radio show about 5-10 years ago, trying to tell people about Puffy. And everybody's, they're talking over him. He's like, no, I'm fucking serious. And they're talking over him. Because let's be honest, the guy was royalty in the hip-hop community for the longest time. But how crazy is it now that all this shit's coming out and all these little videos are popping up? And like, now they're showing these kind of eerie videos of like Puffy and a very, very young fucking, I was going to say Justin Timberlake, but the Canadian kid. What's his dick?
Bieber.
Justin Bieber in a club, and Bieber has this weird look on his face. Just all this creepy stuff. And so it's like, how crazy. I mean, at this point, can we say it's even alleged? I mean, Homeland Security is not going to put themselves at risk by raiding one of the highest, well-known, well-respected producers slash moguls in the hip-hop community, especially amongst people who grew up in the 80s and 90s. Without any sort of evidence, right? That's just a lawsuit waiting to happen. So you know they had enough stacks of evidence to go after him for this. And so to me, it's just another thing that's happening. It's like, holy hell. When did you first hear about it? When they raided his house?
Well, the first thing I heard about it was when you said something about it. So I went and did a little research on it.
Didn't find nothing, did you?
No, not too much.
Only thing that came up was a lawsuit between him and his ex-wife who claimed that he may have abused her, but I didn't see any of this sexual exploitations and the porn video stuff come out.
No, I didn't see any of that either, but it was all just the lawsuits about, you know, him assaulting, raping, whatever, his ex-girlfriend. So, but in all fairness, he did tell us all that, you know, he won't stop.
Yeah, I've heard that one. The story's fucking tragic. It's horrible. But I just want to say...
Oh, absolutely.
I just want to say this. We've discussed this on the podcast in the past. I know a lot of people hate gatekeeping. Oh, you're gatekeeping. You don't think certain people should listen to the music you listen to or watch the movies you like. You know why people gatekeep? We gatekeep because when we find an artist or we find a movie or we find a comic book, we find whatever it is, and then all the in-crowd people in our realm, especially when you're kids, it happens more when you're in middle school, high school than it does as a 40-year-old adult. But, you know, reason you have 30, 40-year-old gatekeepers is the amount of abuse we took as fucking kids, right? you know, it don't matter. Oh, you listen to this band. Oh, getting made fun of for 4 or 5 years to listen to Nine Inch Nails, and then Downward Spiral, Want to Fuck You Like an Animal hits MTV, and now the whole world loves fucking Trent Reznor. Same thing with, oh, wearing Mother's Milk t-shirts and Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh, what's that, a taco restaurant? 3 years later, fucking Under the Bridge comes out, now the whole fucking world loves Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like, you fuckers were like literally bust my balls for fucking 3 years and in homeroom and fucking study hall for my shirts, and now you're listening to the same shit. So yes, that's why we become gatekeepers. I just want to say to all you assholes in Grove City High School in the 90s and into the 2000s, when Puff Daddy and all of them were making a scene and you guys are just listening to mainstream hip hop, and then you were looking down at us weirdos listening to Marilyn Manson and listening to heavy metal and listening to punk rock and listening to Insane Clown Posse saying Marilyn Manson's a devil worshiper, Marilyn Manson probably molests kids, and ICP's a gang, and this and that, and all the shit you guys busted my ass for all you assholes who decided that the Class of 97 song has to be the R. Kelly version of I Believe I Can Fucking Fly, how did that turn out for you? That guy's a pedo who peed on kids. We didn't want that song. You fuckers did. You same fuckers were the same ones demanding all the radio stations and the bars play all the Puff Daddy and the Jay-Z shit, but you're looking at us fucking weirdos for liking Korn before anybody knew who they were, or listening to ICP or Marilyn Manson or any punk rock song or heavy metal song. How many of those people have come out as being fucking pedos or fucking rapists and sexual exploiters and sex traffickers? Zero. So right now I'm zero to your all's two. So with your fucking R. Kelly and your Puff Daddy, but you're making fun of us and always making accusations about us and how we're the weird ones and the devil worshippers and this and that. Yeah, we're coming up on roses on this end. You guys, not so much. You're smelling like fucking urine and bad VHS tapes. Just saying.
I always thought that Puffy was overrated.
I did too.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Biggie and Mace, Puffy wouldn't have had nothing.
And if you listen to Biggie songs, you hear Puffy just in yeah. He didn't even rap. He would just like talk. Yeah, well, that's right. We're coming to your town. You know, he would just.
Yeah.
He was like a
yeah,
fucking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was a low. He was like not a low level. Well, he probably was low level, but low, like literal Ohms level hype guy in the background. You would hear him. He was the equivalent to Tupac in Digital Underground.
Yeah, or. What was the guy's name from Cypress Hill?
Be Real?
Yeah. You know, Insane in the Brain.
Yeah, but at least
the hype guy.
Well, you had
so.
Well, I think the hype guy in that one was the guy actually playing the turntables in the background. So he did provide unlike the guy whose job it was just to dance on stage for the Cottonmouth Kings and Mighty Mighty Boston, they both had a guy in the band who got paid substantial for doing nothing but dancing around, not even having a microphone. But yeah, it's just
I think the thing that we forget is that people, you know, a lot of people by nature are deviants, yeah. And just, you know, the people with money have better access to, you know, to supply their deviant behavior. And that's really, you know, what Epstein was, and apparently Puffy and everybody associated with that. It's they had money and were able to deflect the, you know, the attention for a lot longer.
But if the hypothesis about Puffy is true, he didn't start out with money. He was probably the boy toy to this famous record producer. I think he was a white Jewish guy. I think he dealt a lot with Motown stuff, and he's the one who basically financed the money to build Bad Boys. So Puffy was like the face, but the level of narcissism, which I hate that word because it's like a narcissism and gaslighting are like the two most popular words on TikTok, like out of nowhere, like last 2 years, everybody's used them. But the amount of narcissism that these people would have to think that we can do this shit to people and no one's going to talk. And if they do talk, no one's going to believe them because I'm so-and-so. It's like, how long? I mean, to give them credit, they did get 35 years out of it. But how long did you really think that this ruse was going to take to go? I mean, you're making all this money off of people's royalties because you lowballed them on their contracts because you had the ability to blackmail them. You didn't think at some point they're going to hit 30, say, fuck it, let the tapes come out. I'm taking your asses to jail. I mean, I'm going to take your ass to court and get my royalties back. Something. Just the...
Well... Yeah, I did see a funny thing I was going to send to you, but I didn't get around to it. It was a story from The Onion about how Nickelodeon has just named Puffy as their new president, beating out Ghislaine Maxwell or whatever her name is, and Epstein and somebody else, because he's the only one still alive and not in jail.
You have your phone on you, right?
Yeah.
Here, do yourself, here's a fun game for the audience who hasn't seen this yet. Go to Google. Type in Nickelodeon logo, Epstein Island. There's an overhead shot of Epstein's Island. It's rotated 5 degrees to the right clockwise. Actually, 15 degrees. It's basically a spitting image of the Nickelodeon icon, logo. That little dot is the island. It's like Nickelodeon took an overhead shot of Epstein Island and then just rotated it counterclockwise a little bit. Have you seen it? Should be the first one that comes up.
I'm looking at it right now.
Zoom in. It's the purple logo and then the island. Not the Google image of the island, but the actual overhead photo. You should see the little island off of the island.
Yeah, hang on. Let's see.
I literally just typed the Nickelodeon logo Epstein Island in the Google image search. It's the very first icon that comes up.
Oh, in the images. Okay. Hey, yeah, let me move over. Yeah, would you look at that?
Yeah. If you rotate that Nickelodeon icon to about 115, that little dot would be exactly where that island's at. And the what looks to be, would be like a left arm and a left leg, if it was looking at you. Yeah. It's like almost, it's fucking eerily. How crazy is that?
Brings a whole new meaning to Nickelodeon splat.
Well, have you not seen the doc? I haven't watched it, but you've heard about the documentary All Silence on the Set?
Yeah, I heard about it. I haven't watched it yet. But
it's about three leading producers who were pedos working for Nickelodeon. So it's all starting to fall into place. It's just...
Well, what's interesting is one of my favorite movies is Better Off Dead, and Dan Schneider's in that is like the creepy neighbor who his mom gets a foreign exchange student to come stay with him so she can be his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's creeping on her the whole movie, and
I want, you know, my $2. Boogers up. Yeah. The guy plays Boogers up there. He's like, K2, this is pure snow. Do you realize the street value of this mountain is? Let me ask you a question.
Go down.
Better Off Dead and Neverending Summer, were those produced by the same people?
Yeah. Savage Steve Holland was the producer of both of those. One Crazy Summer.
Yeah, only reason I say that is because both of them had the same exact animation style in it, cut into them.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, two great movies, but Better Off Dead is one of my favorites. Go downhill really, really fast, and if something gets in your way,
turn. That was a great movie. God. We were talking about this on What's the Scuttlebutt the other day. That era, of course, it was military theme for that show, but we can spread off. Movies that were constantly on HBO. Iron Eagle was always on HBO during those times. It was like a Luke Gossett Jr. marathon. You had Iron Eagle. You had the Sean Austin version of Toy Soldiers, where they're at remember that the boys prep school and they get invaded by terrorists because all these kids are the sons of the world's richest men. And they're at this prep school and these terrorists take over the school.
Okay.
And Sean Austin, who played in Lord of the Rings, him and his band of 15-year-old boys get MP5s and they take the school back. Luke Gossett Jr. played the dean in that. Then you had Alien Mind, which was 8 years old by that time, or actually probably 12, with Lou Gossett Jr. played the alien, and then a young Dennis Quaid played the shipwrecked astronaut.
Okay.
Horrible B-flick Halloween movie that was on HBO that time, Pumpkinhead, because I used to stay at my friend Danny's house every other weekend, and he had HBO and we didn't, and Pumpkinhead was always on, that fucking horrible movie. I used to watch it. We used to watch Tales from the Crypt at his house.
Okay. Yeah,
but Pumpkinhead was a dumbass movie. Speaking of dumbasses, this I added this on the list late because I just saw it on the local news. I want to read this story and then I'm going to tell you what I thought was interesting. And I'm going to do it the way Wink News did. And this is the transcript from NBC too because I couldn't find it on Wink. Hold on. This is a different kid. This is a different story. I think.
Is this the first one you put on?
Updated 6, March 28. Hold on. Two Oaks Elementary School. Yeah, this is it. LaBelle, Florida. Two County Oaks Elementary School students are facing firearm charges after deputies learned that one of the boys sold a gun to another student along that were 10 years old, along with what I later found out, 72 grams of weed, which is a fair amount of weed. Somehow this 10-year-old kid had a Glock and 72 grams of weed. The school was put down on a brief lockdown Wednesday morning during the investigation. Henry County Sheriff's Office said that in February, Jaden D. Escalado agreed to sell a gun to Carlos Santo Madrid for $300.
Hold on.
A different story.
Of all, where's this a 10-year-old getting $300? I'm almost 53 and I can't hardly
hold
come
on,
up
this,
with $300.
Sadly, this is a different story. Same age. Hold on. I'm going to have to go with a different story. Same story, but different source. And this brings my...
I couldn't get that link to open anyway, so...
Hold on one second. Good thing we're not live because we can cut this out. 10-year-old Hendry County kid sells weed and gun to another kid at school. This was just on the news tonight. They hadn't released his name yet. That's why I knew the other one. March 28th. Okay, I'm going to skip this first sentence because this is out of Tampa. This story is out of Tampa, but it's about the story here in Southwest Florida. Same school. This got to be the same story, so maybe they just released the kid's name? Yeah, okay, it must be the same story.
Probably this is just the feed or the link from the Tampa station.
Yeah, but the last story made it sound like it was back in February. Anyhow, I'll just read it. County Oaks Elementary School kid LaBelle was placed on brief lockdown Wednesday morning as deputies investigated the incident. In February, Henry County Sheriff's Office said deputies later found gun in the backyard under a shed. Okay, yeah, with a bag of marijuana. Okay, the sheriff's office said ammunition was found in one of the boys' backpack, and the deputy later found a gun in the backyard under the shed along with a baggie of weed. The boys are facing several charges, including sales, purchase of firearm by a minor, unlawful possession of firearm by a minor, possession of firearm on school property, and possession of marijuana over 20 grams. The other boy was charged with selling a firearm to a minor, unlawful possession of a firearm by a minor, possession of a firearm on school property, and grand theft of a firearm. So Wink News does that whole story, right? They have their pre-done package. And this was tonight, just aired tonight. And then when they go to the live shot, they say the parent of the kid who sold the gun is a deputy. And then they go to break. And I looked at Carrie and said, what the fuck was that? I said, isn't the real headline story that a deputy sheriff's son sold a gun and a bag of weed at school?
Yeah.
Well, when I Googled this, both all the local news stations leave that out. Orlando, Tampa, they don't owe anything to the local sheriffs down here. So Tampa and Orlando's news station do exactly what I said. Here is the... WFL, the story I just read out of Tampa. Florida deputies, 10-year-old son accused of selling gun. The Orlando also had deputy son sells gun and weed. Wink News did the whole story and just like the very last sentence. Here's the son of a deputy. It's like, who are you trying to protect?
I wonder if it was his service weapon.
It's his mom was the deputy. But that's what I told Carrie. I said, either service weapon or her personal one. But how do you not make that?
That's really bad. But
you have a kid showing up on school property, offering to sell a gun, and the cops don't find until he's at home. Actually, no, he got brought up charges for having a school. So we're talking about one of the most horrible things that happen in the United States all the time, which is his guns in school. We got to put a stop to it. Drugs in school amongst minors. And then the fact that it's a sheriff deputy's son doing it, and the local news wants to, like, keep that on the low. It's like, that should be, like, number one fucking... Because we're all around here saying we need to hold people responsible. We got to hold people responsible. This person's a cop. Now, I'm not saying cops' kids are good. Cops' kids can be assholes. However, when something happens like this with you or me or my next-door neighbor... The cop's first question is, where do kids get your gun? Don't you know it's your responsibility to lock up your gun? You have no excuse. Well, you're a fucking sheriff. Your job is to enforce those laws. If anybody doesn't have an excuse, it's definitely fucking you.
So yeah. Well, just look at that story of the kid that shot up his school and the parents just got found guilty of, I don't know what exactly the charge was, but, you know, the dad bought him an AR. And he used it in a school shooting. So the kid goes to jail for life. The
what
mom
state
gets,
was that in?
You know, a bunch of... I'm trying to remember. It was in the Northeast somewhere, I think. But, you know, so if these parents are going to be held responsible for the actions of the kid, I mean, what's going to happen to this deputy? I mean...
Well, it remains to be seen, because some of these locales around here, people still claim good old boy network. So we'll have to see how it pans out.
Well, and it is Hendry.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I don't know what would happen to that. But
let me ask you this on the topic but adjacent. We're going to slide to the left, slide to the right. Two hops.
Crisscross.
Everybody clap your hands. So we know that after some of these mass shootings, there's been lawsuits against the manufacturers of the firearms. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought this up way back then. And I'm going to bring it up again. I've even done TikTok videos about it, but I think it got taken down. Here's my beef with that. Maybe it's not even a beef. Maybe I'm going to, if somebody hears this podcast that they can relate to, maybe this might come to fruition. If the victims of a shooting can sue the manufacturer of that item for their wounding or the death of their kids or their parents or what have you, why hasn't anyone filed a class action lawsuit against Apple, Android, Comcast, and Cox? People's theory...
Or Jack Daniels or Budweiser.
Well, here's why I say that. And I have a very explicit point, the reason I say that. Anti-gun people, they use these horrible tragedies to try to push along gun laws because they don't know guns, right? And so their narrative is simply having a gun turns you into a potential sociopath, right? I mean, they're not saying that out loud, but that's what they're insinuating. By you having a gun, it increases your likelihood to go on a crazy mass shooting spree and kill people. So therefore, we got to get rid of all the guns instead of focusing on the mental health issues and the breakdown of fucking society, yada, yada,
sure.
yada.
Absolutely.
And to that end, okay, but we're like, hey, I'm all over the place, but this will all form nice little weave. Remember after 9/11, everybody was pissed off at the Muslims, right? 9/11, okay. it was open
sure.
season on the Muslims. No one trusted the Muslims because of 9/11. And then CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, they would have these Muslim leaders on from the local neighborhood saying, hey, those assholes don't represent us. They're extremists. They're fucking nut jobs. And a lot of people, some people said, okay, cool. Some people said, not so fast. It's open season on Muslims. I understand what it's like to be a Muslim after 9/11. Every time there's a mass shooting, every time there's a high-profile shooting, you got all these anti-gun people saying, we got to get rid of the guns, we got to get rid of the guns. And then all of us responsible gunners are like, hey, those assholes don't represent us. They're an extreme group of people. Don't blame their actions on us. And I had this epiphany, like, that's what the fucking Muslims felt like after 9/11. You had these five assholes do this big fucking thing. The whole world's coming after them. They're like, don't fucking blame us for their sins. Those guys are nutballs. Gun people are the same way. But if we're going to sue Colt, whoever, for mass shootings, we need a class action lawsuit of the victims of sexual trafficking, sexual exploitation, and victims of child pornography to sue Comcast, Apple, Cox, the biggest internet providers, and the biggest cell phone providers. You say, Don, how? What do you mean? Ever since the advent and the mass production of internet-connected devices with built-in camera, the proliferation, the production and distribution of child pornography has gone up through the fucking roof. These guys aren't sitting at home with 1983 fucking camcorders recording it to VHS and then uploading it to a computer and then going converting it up. No, they're shooting this shit on cell phones, iPads, Android devices, and uploading it directly to the internet. Now, I know what you're saying, Don. Just because there's a fucking large, overwhelmingly larger group of perverts out there every day doing horrible shit, that doesn't mean everybody who owns a cell phone is going to turn into a fucking pedo. And I say I agree with you, just like everybody who owns a gun is not a fucking social fucking murderer. But fucking tit for tat, right? If we can say that it's a legitimate legal claim to sue the manufacturer of a firearm, then most definitely people who were sexually exploited, fucking sex trafficked, and that interaction, that crime was committed using a cell phone and the internet, then it's not any fucking difference. And some might even say it would be worse to be a victim of fucking 5-year sex trafficking than fucking being shot.
Well, I agree with you 100%, but what the difference is the government spearheading the anti-gun, because anti-gun people, or I mean pro-gun people like us, are going to be the ones that eventually stand up to the government someday. So they want to get rid of us because having a gun is, you know, having a tool that could be used against them. Having a cell phone and the associated, you know, goodness and awfulness that come along with it is a tool that I believe the government's actually using to turn people into sheep more than turning them into wolves.
Well, it's so, that and nationwide gun owners are a minority. Everybody has a cell phone, but not everybody has a gun. You're going to have a hard time convincing everybody in this country that they need a background check, a license, and a mental health evaluation before they can own a cell phone than it is to say, hey, this 15-20% of the population, let's make them get a mental health background, make them get, you know, this and that. But once again, as I said, just because you own a cell phone doesn't mean you're going to turn into a fucking pedo, and just because you own a firearm doesn't mean you're a fucking sociopath.
Yeah.
But the difference is everybody has a cell phone, not everybody has a gun, and there's a big group of people who would easily say take their guns because they cause harm. Well, so does the internet. And from that end, look at all, I mean, there's just, we could do a 4-hour podcast on the harm that the internet brings to the world, from fucking the shit we just talked about to encrypted malware where they're blackmailing small business owners hundreds of thousands of dollars to get their data back, senior citizens having their fucking life savings wiped out. The shit just goes on and on and on.
Oh, yeah.
But I just think it's funny how it's easy to say, well, we're going to go after this group. But, we wouldn't have imagined suing. How could we possibly say it's Apple's fault that this shit's happening? Because this wasn't developed for...
Well, I mean, even if you took it down to the end user, You know, I mean, what about red flag laws that, you know, take away your cell phone if you're, you know, if it's going to be a, you know, harmful to somebody?
Well, there's somebody listening to this podcast who isn't a gun supporter saying, well, hey, dickhead, the difference is a cell phone was designed and built to do take photos and post it to the internet. Guns are made to kill people. Technically, guns are made.
I don't know. I mean, I think guns people are who were sex trafficked as children probably, you know, died a long time ago, but they're just existing.
Yeah, that's true too. Hence my comment about some might say that living through that and not unaliving yourself is far worse than getting shot in the leg or fucking getting shot in the chest three times and not dying. Hell, some of them may even say that's worse than not dying.
So what do you think about the new, you have to be 14 to get a social media account law that DeSantis just signed?
The 14-year-old version of me would be pissed. The 18, 19-year-old smart-ass version of me would be like, that's fucking bullshit. Freedom of speech. The 40-year-old version of me, 45-year-old version of me, who has a 16-year-old daughter that's already been in mad trouble with her phone to the point where we took it away. The only reason we had to give her a phone back is because we had to download the Where's My Bus app because the bus is never on time. And so we've locked down her phone the best we can, but she still gets around shit. So I'm all for it. But it's funny because it's a freedom of speech. It's guess what? You know what my teachers told us in high school when we brought that up? You're a minor. You have no rights.
Exactly. And again, I agree with you. You know, when I was young, you know, fight the power kind of stuff. You know, now that I'm a almost 53-year-old grandfather, you know, I look at my grandkids and I'm like, when they get to be that age, I want to protect them from everything I possibly can. And I know my son does as well.
Well, see, here's the thing. We're both Gen Xers. And Carrie and I were talking about this the other day. Here's a phrase I guarantee you haven't heard since 1994. Your parents would say it, your grandparents, your aunts and uncles at family reunions. You would hear this phrase. I guarantee you haven't heard it in 40 years. Two different phrases, two different things meant the same thing. This is adult conversation. Go play outside. Or that's an adult toy. Meaning that shit's too expensive for you to fucking play with. That camcorder costs $900. That's an adult toy. Don't fucking touch it. Those things don't exist anymore. Your kids fucking fuck with all your stuff. All their shit's three times expensive as your stuff. And if you try to tell a kid that this is an adult conversation, they'll fucking have a meltdown. And no one enforces that. The problem with... to answer your question, 10 years ago, if he came up with that law, I would say, no, that's bullshit. Now, with the normalizing of the phrase of fucking minor attracted adults... And the amount of fucking messages I see coming across my 16-year-old's fucking Instagram from 25-year-old dudes. Now I'm all for it. The pedophiles have grown. She's constantly getting messages from 25-year-old dudes knowing she's 16. Technically, they're fucking pedophiles. And so I agree with it. The amount of fucking pedos is getting so insane. No one's doing anything to protect them. It's so funny. Everybody got mad when Twitter got bought out. Let's say, well, there's hardcore porn on Twitter. Yes, but there's no child porn on fucking Twitter. Or at least Twitter's honest about it, right? Twitter doesn't take some high stance saying we're cracking down on this. Meta tries to take the high stance, right? They say, oh, we're cracking down on this. We're protecting your kids. You know, my What's the Scuttlebutt Instagram page is currently being shadow banned, and it's not even hidden. I went to my account because I was trying to set it up so that Dennis and Jeff could post from my What's the Scuttlebutt Instagram page. I have two Instagram pages. One's What's the Scuttlebutt, their co-host. And I found a page that says, and I put it up on the website. It says, your profile cannot be shared. And then underneath that, it says, the contents posted to this profile cannot be seen or shared by anybody who isn't currently a follower. And then it says, for these four photos. Two of the photos were prints. One of them was the guy who won the print from Patreon, who had it framed.
Man.
The other one was this print. J- just Marine Corps is walking off the line. Picture number three was a picture of a Medal of Honor recipient standing in his Marine Corps HPTs with a flamethrower on his back, just standing there like at fucking his boot camp. Not him shooting fire, not him melting people, just him standing in his uniform. It was on What's the Scuttlebutt. The other two was just of reenactors standing there holding firearms. So you have a historical World War II page not being shared because of firearms in a photo. So they're claiming to take the high stance. If you and we got the government going after TikTok, wanting to shut them down, say TikTok's nothing but crazy. I'm on TikTok. I got 16,800 followers on TikTok. Yes, it's an echo chamber, but I don't see none of the crazy shit that they're talking about. I'm not saying it's not there. It just doesn't come up my feed. I go into Facebook and go to videos and go to reels. There is straight up unedited, uncensored fucking porn on Instagram reels. You'll have these girls doing these fucking pause videos and it's them taking it. I mean, or they walk up to coffee tables and like hold your phone. But if you look at the coffee table, you can see their fucking naked vagina snatch right there in the glass. I mean, they're kind of hiding it, but it's there and Instagram could easily fucking tag it. I mean, they're taking down my World War II pictures of guns, but they're letting fucking naked, you know, fucking vaginas and fucking tits flying all day long on fucking reels. It's so hypocritical. And so, yes, when you have more 13, 14, 12-year-old kids on Instagram, no one goes on Facebook. Facebook's for mom, dad, and grandpa, so they don't go on Facebook. They're going to Snapchat, which was designed. The whole purpose of Snapchat, you know what Snapchat is?
I mean, I'm familiar with it, yeah.
You know what the actual format of Snapchat is? Conversations
no.
that are deleted within 5 minutes. That was
I knew that.
That was the whole purpose, so they can hide shit. So kids use Snapchat and Instagram, and both of them are where all the pedos go. And once again, Meta's like, oh, we're protecting the kids, but they're fucking... At least Twitter's honest with it. They're saying, hey, yeah, there's nudity over here. It's the Wild West over here. Instagram pretends they're doing something about it. They have more kids there, but no one's doing anything about it because they don't want to lose money. And so, yes, short answer is, nowadays, in 2024, I agree with DeSantis. As an IT guy of 20 years, it'll only affect 5% of the 14-year-old population. The rest of them will talk to their fucking 16, 17-year-old brothers and figure out how to get around it. They're not going to stop it.
Of course. And I just find it interesting. It's I listen to a lot of radio from Alabama. And to hear how it's presented in other places is really interesting. It's definitely, I mean, it's well received there because it's a pretty conservative area. But I'd be interested to maybe listen to something from Portland, you know, where I moved from, and. You know, I'm sure that out there, DeSantis is the Antichrist and it's the end of the world.
Oh, but, yeah. I mean, I wish the guy would have never tried to run for president before he even tried to run and was unsuccessful. People are like, well, he does such a great job in Florida. Don't you want to run for the country? I'm like, no, because him being a governor of Florida impacts my day-to-day life more than what the president does. The president, yes, over five years, the fucking inflation will get crazy and shit like that. But on a day-to-day laws impacting my life, him being a governor impacts my life more than him being a fucking sock puppet for the government. Because let's face it, they're all basically sock puppets for deep state. Even Trump didn't get down to half the shit he wanted. You can say, well, that's because he was in court every other day. True, but he still didn't get done half the shit he said he was going to. And as soon as he got out of there anyhow, all the shit was reversed. And so I think if people focus more on their local elections and their state elections and prevent these assholes from getting a start in a politic career to begin with, 30 years from now, they wouldn't end up in these higher ranking powers. But because no one pays attention, these fuckers get in local offices, they start building a resume, they start fucking finding the right connections, and then one day they're in the House of Representatives or Congress, and then we're stuck with the fuckers.
Well, I think that, you know, they say all politics is local, and, you know, you should start with your, you know, your local guys. But I really think where it needs to start is we need to bring back civics and history classes where they teach that, you know, our government isn't a democracy, it's a representative republic, and teach how the three branches of government interact, because so many people, even people my age, don't understand how our government actually works.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's, you know, where school's done a disservice to us. But school really anymore is just an indoctrination station.
Well, hold on a minute. Let's slow down. And I have to remind people this because they watch Fox News or CNN or Washington Post, and we hear all this stuff about indoctrination schools, which is true out of New York, Chicago, California, Illinois. Carrie's been a school teacher for fucking 8 years. That shit doesn't go on down here. See, and so when we start using that wide fucking brush, people apply it to local schools. And so what happens are, Carrie's got to call home about a disciplinary kid or whatever. These fucking nutballs come in here saying, "Oh, you guys are teaching this shit. You're teaching that shit, blah, blah." It's like, that happens in New York. They're the ones with the super strong unions. That shit don't happen out here. And so they catch the flacks of those assholes, much like I was saying earlier about, hey, those fuckers aren't part of us. Those are extremists. But what's happening now is the parents have gotten so shitty with teachers. Their kids are so fucking bad because the parents don't discipline the kids. When you and I are going to school, if you got in trouble by your teacher, you went home and got in trouble by your parents. It didn't matter who was right, who was wrong. They always took the side of the teacher first until the evidence was proven otherwise. Just like when I told the story about how I walked to school one day in fifth grade, got called down to the principal's office. Cops were there because I was looking through the cars in my neighborhood, and I got home and I got yelled at and grounded for 2 days. It was a Friday. Monday, I'm walking out. I see a kid in a gray coat, looked just like mine, brown hair just like mine, looking in my neighbor's fucking car. Scooped him up by his jacket, drug his ass to school, took him to the office, said, "Here's your fucking guy." Same jacket I have, because we both our parents had shot the JCPenney. We both had brown hair. Do you think the school called home and gave an apology? No. But the point being is, even if you prove yourself, until you prove yourself innocent, your parents took the word of the teacher. Now it's the opposite. Now it's the teacher's wrong, even if it's on fucking video. To the point now where teachers don't want to teach anymore. It's teachers are, Carrie every day wants to fucking quit teaching. And she just moved from fourth grade down to second graders and are just as fucking bad. But to that point being, like when we passed that can't have these books in your library thing last year, at the end of the school year, here's a fun fact. You have elementary school age kids. All the books in the teacher's rooms are purchased and supplied by the teacher or got hand-me-down from other teachers. Schools don't pay for that shit. The school does not supply it. Teachers pay for all that shit out of their pocket. At the end of the year last year, she had to scan 500 books, UPC codes, into the state of Florida's website to make sure that they weren't on this banned book list. And every teacher in the state's doing it. The website kept crashing. Website kept crashing. So basically her and all half the other teachers said, fuck it, threw the shit in a box and took it home. Even though these books weren't on the list, but because they're being forced to do this shit, the website and the infrastructure is not there, they're like, fuck it. It's the end of the year. I have more shit to do than sit here and scan 800 UPC codes into a broken-ass website. I just want to have a fucking library. And then take it home because people get caught up. But back to the thing, yes. I don't know. We have to do something. The internet's getting fucking crazy. And when I came up with that whole storyline of the with the advent of internet connected devices with built-in cameras, the proliferation distribution of child pornography exploded. I tried to find studies and paperwork backing that up, but because the number's so large, it wasn't there. The only thing I could find was an FBI study, and this was 5 years ago, saying at any given moment on the internet, there's over 100,000 pedos trying to engage your kids in inappropriate sexual relationships. And I'm sure that number's quadrupled since then. And so, I don't
know.
And
that's just what they know about.
Yeah. I mean, how many times do you see someone getting arrested, right? They found child porn. Where did they usually find it at? On their phone. the days of somebody having an old desktop.
It's gotten way too easy. That's what I was just going to say is, you know, when you have the entirety of human knowledge right here in your hand, good, bad, evil, you know, everything is right there. I think that it's probably, I don't know if the number of people with a proclivity towards child pornography is any lower. It's just enabled so many people that otherwise wouldn't have made the effort because they might have gotten caught. There's so many people that there's no way they're going to get caught.
That and the rule of supply and demand. If I'm not saying this is true, we're just hypothetically speaking. Let's say that this is a unquenchable desire for these fucking guys, right? Let's say it's something fucking in them, they're broken, whatever. To your point, before this shit was easier to get a hold of, i.e. back in the 80s and 90s, where you couldn't get a hold of this material, yet these perverts had enough. You still had child molestation, but not on the level which it is today, because I'm sure a lot of these people, they didn't have access to the material, and they didn't want to risk the life imprisonment, destruction of their...
Sure.
And so they found other ways, whether it was hookers or what have you. But nowadays, they have access to the shit on the dark web. They're feeding their addiction, and it no longer feeds them. And so they move to the next level. And once again, supply and demand, they're wanting more and wanting more. You got these sickos who are producing this shit. And so it just keeps building and building. And so these assholes have access to this material at a younger age and more, and it's just building. I just had a thought. I haven't thought about this in years. I went to school with a guy. I won't say his last name. His first name is Jared. He had a computer early on. I remember after we graduated, I went to his house. He said, "Hey, come check out this photo." Looked at that photo, and I got this weird feeling in my stomach. I said, "That's fucking weird." And I left. 24 years later, he was arrested and put in prison. Guess what for? Yeah.
Child porn?
Yeah. But
it wasn't Jared from Subway, was it?
No. You know what's crazy about that story? And I know we're all over the place, but it all ties in together. Before Jared got arrested for all that shit, when did he get arrested for that? In like mid-2000s?
I think so.
Let's see. Jared Subway scandal. Okay, 2015. You still with me?
Yeah, I'm here. Was that recent?
Well, they said he was a spokesperson between 2000 and 2015. I'm sure they didn't continue the campaign after he got arrested. So I'm assuming 2015. So yeah, it's a short 10 years ago.
Wow. Takes, get a foot long to a whole new level.
Well, what's crazy about that, going back to people who try to warn people, but no one listened. I listened to Howard Stern when I worked at Horton Emergency Vehicles up until 9/11. I actually was building ambulances and watched the towers fall. So I worked there in 2001. So sometime between 1998 and 2001 on an episode of Howard Stern, this guy called in and he was like, "Yeah, I went to college with Jared from Subway." Okay, well, it had to be 2000 or 2001, because I left there after 9/11. That was in 2001. So anyhow, during that time, he called and said, "Yeah, I went to college with the guy from Subway." And Howard's like, "Yeah, Jared?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "So did he really walk?" No, he said, "Did he really lose all that weight eating Subway?" He said, "Yeah, but what they don't tell you about in the newspaper is he walked 3 miles to Subway, got the sub, and then walked 3 miles back. So the asshole's getting exercise." Now, this is before he got busted for the child porn and all that shit. The guy said, "This guy's a nut. He's crazy." He said he had a huge catalog of porn DVDs, and he would check them out to the people who lived at his campus. So, like, he was running, like, a underground porn video store at his college So
he was literally Pornhub before there was
Pornhub. So all the people in his dorms would go down there and check out videos. And so that was his thing. He was always, even in college, he was always in the porn. And Howard and Rob were like, oh, that's crazy. And then they kind of made fun of it. Who knew fucking 10 years, 14 years later, that shit would come out. So there's always red flags. We just don't see them until it's way, way, way too late.
Well, I think by nature, we all, you know, want to have the feel-good story. And, you know, oh, here's the fat kid that always got made fun of.
Yep.
And, you know, he walked and walked and walked and got skinny, and now he's a hero and he's the Subway guy.
Makes you wonder. Know?
That doesn't make him any less of a shitbag to begin with.
Correct. Makes you wonder whose idea it was to do the school campaigns with him. Was that Subway's whole honest idea, or did Jared say, hey, I got an idea. How about you send me to elementary school kids and I can show them my big fat pant and how I fit in one pant leg? Now, that was their whole thing. I wonder if that was Subway's idea, if he really had I got this great idea.
I'm sure it was his idea of wanting to show big fat something to elementary school kids.
Okay, we need to change the subject because it's getting me down on energy.
Okay.
Where do you want to go next? I'll let you pick the next topic.
Well, let's see. I don't know. I mean, everything else is pretty depressing too, except for we could do the 7 traits of
irresistible people.
Yeah.
I'm sure I got all 7 of them.
I've got 8 of them. I don't know. But so, yeah, I mean, it's so 7 traits that irresistible people have.
Yep.
Confidence is number one.
Which one is number one? Your mic cut out.
Oh, confidence.
Okay.
I mean, I guess you'd have to be pretty confident to believe you're irresistible. I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, if you are irresistible, you must have some sort of an idea.
Yeah, but there's truth to that, and let me give you an example. So after 9/11, after all that crap, I ended up getting a divorce, and I moved to California. I was 22 at the time, so I'd only, you know, when I lived in Ohio, I grew up around the people, I had friends, I was in a band, I had a circle. But now I'm in California living with my dad, don't know fucking anybody. And so get a job, work 45 minutes from Long Beach or an hour on a weekday. So the 3 guys I work with live in La Habra, so I would hang out with them occasionally, but I still had no friends. Start going to the bar down in Huntington Beach. And I'd go to the bar, I'd do the same thing I did in Ohio, but I had friends in Ohio, and that was just sit at the bar and drink beer and listen to music. Did this about 2 months and was getting me fucking nowhere, because here I am just a weirdo sitting at the bar by himself, fucking drinking beer, listening to music. One day I got drunk, got up, started dancing, pulled a phone number. Not a good dancer. Not a good dancer at all. Went back the next week. Got my vodka and coke. Got a beer. Started dancing. Pulled another phone number. Was there a couple months later. I was 22 at the time. 44-year-old woman came up to me. Hey, you want to dance? Sure. Wasn't my bag. Wasn't in my age group. Whatever. Start dancing. She says, see that pretty blonde over there? She thinks you're cute. Now, if I would have turned down the 40-year-old, I would never got the number of the 23-year-old. Long story short, because I went to the bar and I found out 2 things. By myself, for one, and 2, was out on the dance floor, not caring. Just the confidence that they believed that showed. I'm not saying it was confidence, but because I was talking to people, putting myself out there, the whole thing fucking changed. It wasn't because I was fucking the world's greatest dancer. No, I'm probably one of the world's worst dancers, but just because I had the confidence to put it out there, it changed everything. So confidence makes sense on this list.
Okay, I can see that. Number two is kindness. Yeah, I don't know. It says being kind is attractive. I don't know. I mean,
I think that's...
I consider myself a pretty kind person, and, you know, chicks aren't beating down my door, so I don't know.
Well, I think in the guise of this irresistible, I think it's a wide swath, meaning professionally, in your community, romantically,
yeah,
what have you. But to your point, at least for our generation, I think that's age specific, because we all know the nice kids in school got picked on. The girls definitely didn't go after them. They wanted the bad boy, or wanted the jerk, the football jocks, this and that. Sure, when you get in the 30s and 40s, and, you know, the women have had a bad run of all the bad boys treating them like shit, that might change. Or kindness gets you further in your job or in your church or what have you. So I think kindness is definitely age specific.
So this kind of ties back into what you were saying. Number three is fun loving. So you're getting out there and dancing, you know, that kind of tied in with the confidence thing, you know, it says, why is everything so serious? Life can be difficult. So having a fun loving outlook can really be a breath of fresh air. So.
To a point.
Yeah.
Fun loving is one thing. Being a sloppy drunk's another. My biggest pet peeve are people you have to babysit when they're drunk.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I remember when I lived in Huntington Beach, I started dating this girl, and she knew this guy from work, and he had a very small cock. And the reason I knew he had a very small cock is because when he would get drunk, he would show it to random people. So he had the confidence in his small cock, but it annoyed people because he was drunk. This is in 2001 when cell phones were starting to get a little widespread, but people still, they weren't so aloof with me because we had to pay for the minutes. We were on Huntington Beach, and I saw him walk up to a random stranger who was on the phone and just scream to the guy's phone. And I'm just like, somebody get this fucking guy out of here. I do not like people who need a babysitter when they're drunk. It's my big
spit. Yeah, I can relate. Number four is positivity. So it says you don't have to be annoyingly chipper all the time, but being a positive person can go a long way. I can see that. I mean,
I wholeheartedly agree with that. There's nothing worse than a fucking daily Debbie Downer who just brings everybody down just being in the room with them for five fucking minutes.
Yeah, I've been accused of that in the past, so it's
I'm not saying you gotta be Mr. Spring and Sunshine, but just do what the rest of us do. Save the crying for your fucking car ride on the way home. We don't bring it to the office. Sit in your driveway and cry, then go inside.
Yeah, absolutely. Number five is having a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like all the memes say, you know, watch out for the funny guys because they'll be the ones that'll have your pants off. So.
Yeah, except for Puff Daddy. He wasn't very funny. That's called a throwback. Non-judgmental, number six.
I think this number six is non-judgmental.
I think this is a problem. I don't agree with this at all.
Okay. Being open-minded and non-judgmental is welcoming to people. Everyone loves feeling accepted. So when you meet new people and are listening ear to people currently in your life, remember not to judge. Just listen and love honestly. Telling the truth and not obscuring the facts is fundamental to our happiness and relationships.
Yes. If you just met a person, your girlfriend or husband or boyfriend introduced you, or you probably wouldn't be husband, you'd already met their family, but you're in a new relationship, they're introducing you to the brother or the cousin, you get the bad feeling, keep it to yourself. But if it's somebody you've known for 5 years and they're fucking spinning their wheels doing the same bullshit, be judgmental and tell them, hey, dickhead, it's time for you to fucking grow up and move on with your life. You're closer to 50 than you are 25. Stop living like you're 25. We have to be judgmental. And I think the reason our society is falling apart and we're watching the fall of fucking Roman Empire here is because we stopped judging people. If we would continue to judge people, we wouldn't have all this unimportant bullshit distracting our politicians and keeping them from fucking focusing on, oh, I don't know, the moves being made by China, Russia, fucking Iran, Brazil, all these people.
So on that topic for just 1 second, then we'll get to number seven here. I can't remember who it was that made this quote. Now, I'm paraphrasing, is give them bread and circuses and they'll never revolt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically where we are right now, is, you know, reality TV and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all this stuff. It's like they're turning our minds to oatmeal with all of this stuff.
Take away the weapons, legalize the drugs, slowly take the rights away. It's what Germany did. You know,
have an unarmed, ignorant, uninformed population, and it's easy to control them.
Well, that's why they go after the kids. That's why Hitler went after the kids. Because if you raise an entire generation, you just got to wait for the older ones to die off, and then your plan's in place. And that's why they go absolutely.
All right, so number seven. I vehemently disagree with this one. Being honest. People who say honesty is the best policy, I mean, that might be the right, you know, the right way to be, but people don't want you to be honest. People don't want you to point out their faults. People don't want you to correct them when they're wrong.
It's like the old saying.
People just want you to be an echo chamber of what they say, think, and believe.
It's like the old saying, don't ask questions you don't want the answers to.
Well, absolutely. So, you know, I don't know. I appreciate someone being honest with me, even though it stings and I might be a little resistant to it at first. Honesty makes you better, because if somebody's pointing something out, it's probably something that you need to try to correct.
Perfect example. I'm in the middle of a weight loss journey again. When I worked at Stan Haney, I had 2 kidney stones or 2 millimeters because I was working 2 jobs, drinking probably 8 Mountain Dews a day, 2 5-hour energies, 3 White Monsters, and I passed 2 kidney stones. Dropped all that shit.
I'm surprised your organs didn't fail.
Went straight water, cut out carbs, eating just proteins. I lost 60 pounds and going to the gym, started running, started doing OCR events. Fast forward 3 years, getting to fishing, get injured, stop running, start drinking. Well, during Hurricane Irma, I started drinking soda again, because all the water is fucking gone. So I fell off the water wagon and I'm struggling to get back on that. And post-pandemic, I shut down at computers. So I shut down at computers. I'm no longer getting expensive shit delivered. So I couldn't justify a $500 a year fucking UPS store mailbox. That's right, UPS store. $500 a fucking year, or $250 a year. Anyhow, still a lot of goddamn money. I canceled it. 7 months later, stopping at UPS store to ship out some prize stuff or stuff for Patreon members over at Patreon. And the guy who owns it looks at me and said, what happened to you? You got fat. Just being honest, because people love somebody who used to work out and seeing them fat. I'm like, God damn, that stings.
Did you find that attractive?
4 months later, actually like 6 months later, me, Mike, and Ron end up on that bachelor party. Ron moved away like a year before. He hadn't seen me in a year. Show up in Tampa, looks at me, says, what the fuck happened to you? You got fat. Now, did I cry my Wheaties? Did I say, no, I came home and starting that Monday, instead of me sleeping for 45 minutes at work on a hard floor, I started walking 2.5 miles every day at lunch. And I've walked 2.5 miles every day at lunch since January, except for when it's downpouring. And then I go home, and if I'm not recording a podcast, I run between 3 and 5 miles. And then on Saturdays, I run between 8 and 10 miles. So I took the sting and the ache of people calling me fucking fat. Instead of saying, you're being mean and body shaming me, No, I fucking stopped drinking soda at work again. I just drink black coffee with the exception of the Starbucks I get in the morning. And I average between 5 and 7 miles a day in order to get back to where I was before people start calling me fat again. So to your point, being honest is very helpful.
Yes, but that's, it's helpful, but that's not the point of this article. This is what people find attractive. I don't find people telling me I'm fat attractive at all.
That's true.
But I do appreciate the honesty. And the only real, true, honest person in my life is my wife. She pulls absolutely zero punches with me. And she calls me on all kinds of stuff. Because much like you, I used to run. I used to kayak. I used to be skinny. And I hurt both my knees. I quit running. I quit, and I've been up and down. I've been as high as almost 300 pounds. I've been 187 pounds. So, you know, and she's the only one that has the stones to look at me and say, I'm concerned about your health. Maybe you shouldn't be eating this shit and, you know, have a chunk of meat and leave the potatoes alone. But I still find her extremely attractive. So I don't know how that works, but
your knees still bother you?
Oh yeah.
Do yourself a
and
favor.
I know a lot of it.
Go on Amazon, order you some Knox gelatin. It's baking gelatin. It's no sugar in it. It's just pure 100% fucking. I always forget the goddamn name of it. The women used to get the fucking shots in their lips. It's collagen,
yeah.
It's 100% collagen. And for those of you at home, you know, I saw an interesting video where young kids don't realize we call it food chicken because it's made out of fucking chicken. They're so disconnected from where their food comes. They just think, oh, we just call it chicken nuggets because it's cute. For those of you who don't know, because you're disconnected from where your food comes from, collagen is nothing but dried out, dehydrated, ground down connective tissues and hooves off of fucking cows and horses and bone marrow and things like that. We used to get, back in the day, when people hunted to eat, that connective tissue would just be included in your food because you didn't skin it all the way or whatever. You know, we weren't manufacturing this shit. We weren't freezing these steaks and then running them through a planer to get the top ledge off. So this connective tissue would be in your food. You'd get it naturally, and it's good for you. It helps you to regenerate the cartilage in your knees, your elbows. It's great for your skin, great for your hair. So I say all this to say this. You can get all these GNC collagen bullshit that's mixed with all this other crap. It's $83 an ounce or whatever. Or you can do what Vinny Tortage told me, and I've been doing it. Go on Amazon, get a box of Knox baking gelatin, which is 100% collagen, no sugar, no flavor, nothing. It's just 100%. I take one every day, put it in my coffee mug, pour black hot coffee in it, stir it up. You have to drink it before it gets cold. And my skin's better. My knees feel better.
Drinking coffee jello.
Well, the cool thing is if you leave a little bit, about a quarter of an inch in your coffee cup and let it sit overnight, the next morning pour water in it and pull that jello out, it removes all the coffee stains from the bottom of your mug. Your coffee mug will look brand new. It's insane. Only thing I've ever seen remove coffee stain is Knox gelatin jello sat overnight. But seriously, though,
I've done that in the past.
Start putting that in your coffee and your knees will feel. I'm not saying you're going to be out running again, but your knees will start feeling better and you'll see an improvement in your skin.
One of the big issues for me is the carbonation in the, I just realized that my koozie is green, so it fades in. But CO2 is really bad for your innards, you know, your joints and your muscles and everything. So all the soda and beer that people drink, and then they say, you know, and draft beer at a bar is the worst of all because most of the bars have their CO2 turned up way too high. That's why the beer's all foamy. And
not only that, as Stan Haney pointed out when I worked for them, most bars, especially the dive bars, they never clean their lines. So that's why you get headaches when you're drinking Wells. And ever since I worked at Stan Haney, when I go to bars, I always order out of the bottle. because they don't clean their lines well enough.
Yeah, exactly. But so that's I'm working towards getting on board with, you know, something similar to what you're doing. I just need to cut out the beer and the carbs. I used to do really well, and I just haven't done it.
Drink
recently.
Bourbon. It's healthier for you. Before we wrap up the show, I want to cover one more story. And this story hit home for me because when this broke in real time, Carrie was watching this lady on TikTok. Carrie Russell. Name probably means nothing to you guys. You probably think it's a celebrity, but it's not. Carrie Russell, Alabama woman. We were talking about narcissists earlier, right? Talking about Puff Daddy and people doing dumb shit, thinking they're not going to get caught. I'm not going to read you the headline because it gives away what she did. I'm going to skip the first paragraph. Carrie Russell was charged with two misdemeanors for making false statements to police in July. Uh-huh. She told authorities, and I can't remember if she did this on, I know it was on TikTok. I know people were talking about it on TikTok. I never saw it. I don't know if she recorded the video or if people in her town recorded a video. Carrie Russell was charged with two misdemeanors for making a false statement to police in July. So the story was, when it broke, did you hear about this lady? No, what? She was driving down the road or the interstate. I can't remember which one. She saw a baby shoe or something. She saw something that made her believe that a child had been hit by a car or kidnapped. And then she vanished after she filed a police report. The fucking chick made the whole thing up. Carrie Russell was charged with two misdemeanors for making a false statement to police in July. She told authorities that she had been kidnapped after going missing for 2 days, then subsequently admitted to police through her attorney that there was no kidnapping and she made it all up. Hoover Police Department said her disappearance had sparked a nationwide search involving local and federal law enforcement. Russell pled not guilty in October for false reporting to law enforcement authorities and falsely reporting the incident. A municipal judge at the time found her guilty of the charges and recommended that she spend a year in jail and pay nearly $18,000 in restitution. Russell's legal team found the restitution fair but appealed the conviction. In an effort to avoid jail time, the state trial was set to begin this week but was removed from the docket on Thursday. Plea hearings are scheduled instead. I think if I remember correctly, they don't cover it in this ABC article because, you know, journalism. They don't do the whole story anymore. Reported kid finding. Oh no, that's what it was. She that I got confused. She planted her own shoe and a lock of her hair on the side of the road, and like so. Not only did she report herself go and hide and report herself missing, she planted fucking evidence to make it look like someone abducted her off the side of the road. That's what it was. It wasn't she reported a kid got... No, she reported... She caught in her... anonymously her own kidnapping and then vanished for 2 days after she planted her shoe and like a piece of her hair somewhere on the road. It's like, what the hell is wrong with people? Are you doing this for clicks? You got to get your name in the news? I don't understand. What was the... She wanted to take a few days off of work? Trying to get out of jury duty? I mean, what's the upside to reporting yourself missing? I don't get it.
But again, like I said earlier, I listen to a lot of radio from Huntsville, Alabama, because that's where my kids live. And this was a huge story. I mean, mm-hmm. there were people from all over the state, you know, dogs and search teams and, you know, the guy, the horseback guys, you know, everybody was like, oh my gosh, this is awful. We have to go see if we can find this girl. And, you know, and I think that's a lot of what that $18,000 restitution is paying for some of these, you know, some of these law enforcement, you know, people that came out and are like, yeah, this is awful. This girl's been kidnapped. We got to do everything we can to find
Jesse
her.
Jesse Smollett all over again. All the cops were looking for Jesse Smollett. I wasn't wrong. I didn't lose my mind. It's at the bottom of the article. Russell called 911 on July 12th to report a toddler on the interstate. Mm-hmm. I knew there was something about a kid in the story. on 459 in Alabama a day before her disappearance, police said. After she returned home on July 15th, she told police that she had been taken by a man and a woman when she stopped to check on the toddler that she reported on the highway. Yeah, so it was a two, it was like a double story. I saw a toddler, which is a crime in itself, on a highway. I'm the Good Samaritan. I went to go talk to it. Yeah. And it was a ruse by these abductors who kidnapped me. I was like, what the fuck? While investigating the kidnap claim, police determined that the 25-year-old searched on her phone for Amber Alerts, bus tickets, and the movie Taken, a 2008 movie starring Liam Neeson about the father's quest to save his daughter from kidnappers, hours before she went missing, according to the Hoover police. In a statement provided by the police in July, Russell acknowledged that there was no kidnapping. My client did not see a baby on the side of the road. My client did not leave Hoover area when she was identified as a missing person. My client did not have any help in the incident. This was a single act done by herself. But why? We ask for your prayers for Charlie as she addresses her issues and attempts to move forward, understanding that she made a mistake. But why? I want to know why she felt this was necessary.
I don't think they ever determined that. I don't think she ever came out and said, this is why I did what I did.
It's crazy. But yeah, to your point, they're saying there's a significant hour spent, resources expended as a result of this investigation. Not only that, but many men and women who are civilians who wore those yellow vests and on hot afternoons and evenings looking for someone they thought was abducted, trying to assist.
I've been in Hoover in July, and it's not much better work, you know, working outside conditions than we have here in July. So those people that were out there looking for nothing, I mean, that's, you know, it would be tough to see the good in humanity and put that vest on again and go out and look for the next person.
Yeah. But hey, I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. We want to thank each and every one of you for hanging out. If you haven't done so yet, please head over to whatsinyourhead.com. Click on the YouTube channel, like and subscribe, and watch all our videos. That goes a long way to help, especially in these days of, shit being super expensive. But if you do have a dollar or $3.50 or even $7 a spare a month, head over to patreon.com or once again, whatsinyourhead.com. Click on that Patreon link, subscribe to the Digital 410 Media page, and get enrolled into our giveaways. And even that $1 a month goes to help us pay for things like web hosting, domain names, premium Zoom. Before we actually had premium Zoom, we had to stop every 30 minutes and restart. Just the ability to have Zoom to bring guests on, all that costs money. So if you want to help keep the Zoom on around here, you can do that by heading over to whatsinyourhead.com, click on Patreon. Even a dollar a month goes a long way to help us out. For myself, Mike, who's off tonight, and Mr. Morgan Long, thank you guys so much, and we will talk to you all next week.
This has been a Digital 410 production.